What's up, guys? Dak Danny here. Just want to give you a quick intro for this podcast. I headed down to Orlando for a week with Eve Gigi from Made to Move out of Charleston, South Carolina. This is the ClickFunnels Funnel Hacking Live conference. There were about 3,000 marketers that showed up in Orlando. It was a crazy event. And this is the wrap up for day one. All right, so I'll give you a little context. We're doing Instagram Live at the same time with this. We're answering a couple questions that we got live as well. While we were down there, Eve and I decided to start a Facebook group. It's a project we've been working on for a long time called PT Entrepreneurs. I highly recommend that you go and sign up for this bad boy. If you go to facebook.com/groups/PT Entrepreneur, you will see the group. And we were overwhelmed with how quickly we had people requesting to be added to this group. We had about 100 people within 24 hours request access, and we were super excited to see the response that we got, and that people were as interested in learning about business and entrepreneurship within physical therapy in a group setting like this where we can all help each other. So if you're interested in that, I highly recommend you go sign up for this free group. It's going to be amazing. Facebook.com/groups/PT Entrepreneur. You can just Google search or search in Facebook for PT Entrepreneur. So guys, I hope you enjoy this one. Hope you enjoy the wrap up from day one, and catch you soon.
So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast.
What's up, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and we're coming at you from Orlando, Florida, with Eve Gigi with Made to Move, which is in Charleston, South Carolina. Came down here with me and is attending this conference, which has been really freaking cool, right? Like, I feel like this conference in the first day that we've been here has been more, it's worth the cost and the trip so far for what we've learned. So we wanted to recap this day and kind of talk about what we've learned from this, and hopefully you can apply it to your practice or digital business or whatever it is that you are actually doing, because I took a ton of notes. So this is the notebook. If you're watching this on Instagram Live, like, I have something like 7 pages of notes from the first day. So the first day was all about how do you go from $0 to $1 million in a business, which sounds like a lot of money, but at this conference today, there were about 300 people that were 7-figure businesses just through the ClickFunnels application. So that doesn't include, you know, other, you know, platforms. Let's say they have a brick and mortar business and they're there. These are just people that have digital businesses that are over $1 million, which is fun to be able to see that and to be able to kind of hear what these people do, because sometimes it's sort of surprising, you know, what you do. Some of these people, like one guy in particular, or one lady in particular, I should say, help people with alcohol. And instead of go to AA, they basically are part of a community. It's a subscription community to, you know, help if you have alcoholism. And she has over a 7-figure business, which is kind of nuts, right?
Crazy.
So here's what we take away from today. So I'll kind of tell you my biggest takeaways, and I would recommend you read the book Expert Secrets if you haven't read that yet. That's the book that Russell Brunson wrote that a lot of what we talked about today was based off of. And there's a couple questions that he asked. So number one, you know, what's your vision? What are you trying to create? And who are you trying to serve? And now I'll read this again. So it's, what's your vision? What are you trying to create? And who are you trying to serve? And I think if you can answer those three questions really specifically, and you can get very granular about your answers to those and understand that you'll be in a much, much better place in your business than where most people are probably at today. What did you think about that section that he brought up?
No, for sure. I mean, casting this huge, big open net is not going to be the key to getting that 7-figure business. It's going to be making it very specific, knowing exactly who you want to serve, your ideal customer, which we hear a lot in marketing, right?
Yeah.
And specifically knowing what's my vision and how am I going to get my vision to those people and who am I going to serve? I love that. Like, we're all physical therapists. We're serving type of people. And like, that was what really spoke to me is like, I want to help people. And, you know, we do that through physical therapy. And now we're going to try to do that through other modalities and other ways, you know, just all about figuring out who exactly you want to serve and how you're going to get that message to them.
I think the other thing that he said that was really important was, oh, is it my wife? She's crying. There she goes. The kids are watching. Oh, this is great. So cheers. Kids, yeah, cheers. Who has the better beer, by the way? I have Miller High Life, and Eve has Yingling, which is the oldest brewery in the country.
Right.
Right.
I'm drinking the champagne of beers.
And I'm drinking the champagne of beer. Yeah. So Ashley, we're Instagram live this, by the way. So my wife is letting our kids watch this, but I would like to know, Ashley, which beer you think is, you think Eve's is better. Of course you would say that. That's very biased. So here's what, one of the big things that I took away from this, and it was that, you know, he basically said to narrow your focus down to the thing that you really need to be. Yingling. Ah, come on, man. Somebody else says Yingling. Dang, everybody's hating on the champagne.
Nobody likes the High Life, I'm telling
you. Okay. So if you can narrow your focus down to the one thing that you really should be focusing on and that you can grow, and if you put all your creativity and efforts behind that it would grow. Mm-hmm. In many cases, as entrepreneurs, we get sort of bored with things. I know I'm like this. I'll get bored with something and I'll say, okay, I built this up to whatever number revenue, or I've hit these goals I had in mind. Now I got to go do something else. Versus now, what can I do to help throw, you know, lighter fluid on that, and then grow it exponentially? Versus driving over to something else. Thank you, Pat McSweeney, High Life. Appreciate that.
One
so,
guy.
So it's two to one now. We'll see if somebody else says something. But so for me, that hit home because I feel like I tend to do a lot of projects, mm-hmm. and I get excited about stuff, and it's hard for me to sometimes focus on things. So how did you feel about that when he brought that up?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same way. So you get, as entrepreneurs and even just as business owners, you get really excited about launching something.
Right.
And like, it's that, you get that adrenaline rush, like, I'm going to launch this thing, I'm going to get a bunch of followers, I'm going to sell this product. And then as soon as you get there, you're like, you don't really know what's the next step, right?
Yeah.
And like, you have to, I think you talked about switching your creativity mindset or something
right.
like that.
Yeah, from something new to being creative in the business you already have.
Instead of starting
right?
something, like growing something.
Yeah.
That's a completely different skill set, and it's a completely different like way of thinking. And, you know, it's tough because you get just excited about starting something new.
Yeah.
You know, you get good at that.
Totally.
That one skill. And so
right.
being able to expand something bigger is obviously a more effective use of your time. And that's a big thing for entrepreneurs. What's the best use of our time?
Well, the other thing he said was, you know, we tend to be really good at starting stuff and get excited about stuff, and that we want to drive that forward to the point where we have a, you know, we see our vision come to fruition, which is really what it's all about, right? It's not about, revenue. It's not about, you know, making money. It's, you have to do those things so you have a sustainable business and so you can employ other people, so you can help as many people as possible. Because frankly, if you're just dead broke, like, you can't help anybody.
Right.
You know, so if you are making a good bit of money, and then now all of a sudden you can support these things that you find valuable that you would like to get behind. So the business itself, a lot of it is just expression of creativity within, you know, your own vision of what that's going to be. That's what's exciting, right? So, you know, if you can start to say, okay, well, what other ways can I be creative without having to go off on a tangent, mm-hmm. and go do something else? I would say that's probably the thing that I would say that he said today that I got the most out of was the idea of, yeah, maybe you're not having to grow this. You've already done that. But what can you take that skill set and that fascination with whatever it is that got you there to begin with? How do you shift that in a way that you can still, you know, focus on the business in a impactful way? I would say one of the other things that went over today that I thought was a concept that I've heard before, but sometimes you hear something and you hear it again, and it's like at a different point in time in your career.
Yep,
and it means something different, right? So he talks about the three ways to grow a company. So one is to get more customers, which is what most of us focus on. It's always like, how do I get more new patients? How do I get more, you know, leads, whatever it is. The other one is, the second one I should say is, how do you get them to spend more money? And then the third one is, how do you get them to buy more often? So if you can get more new customers, get them to spend more money with you, and you get them to come back and buy more, now all of a sudden you have a really, really profitable, successful business that you can scale and you can grow and you can employ other people, right? So one of the biggest things that I see in the cash model in particular is that people are charging these bare bones. And we've had this conversation. You're going to laugh because I'm going to call you out right
now.
Yeah,
of course.
I've been telling you for quite a while that, you know, you need to raise your rates because you have to have better margins in order to have staff that comes on. And now you have the opportunity to reinvest in marketing more and have better salaries and get more competitive people in. So, you know, if you're in the range and you're charging $100, maybe $120 a visit, I don't care where you are. You can say, I'm in Cleveland. I know people in Cleveland that are charging $175. You know, right. I know people that are in, you know, smaller cities that are charging a good premium. And, you know, it gives you an opportunity to then have margins to scale. So, you know, when he says the one thing here, get more customers, everybody's focused on that. But are you charging enough? Are you charging what you're worth? Mm-hmm. Because if you are, or if you're not, there is your low-hanging fruit there. You could dramatically improve your business over the course of a couple months without having to get any new patients.
I mean, I think that's the biggest challenge for us as PTs,
right,
is where we've been driven this mindset of, you know, I don't even know where it comes from, but definitely a lot of PTs I talk to, like, we don't want to charge a lot for our services. We definitely undervalue ourselves.
Yeah.
And feel like we shouldn't even get cash in the first place. And now, you know, I'm in this place where I'm finally starting to get very comfortable with charging a certain amount, which we charge $145 per hour. And I know we've done these business metrics. And as we start to grow and we start to try to license our name and grow more clinics, it's the biggest thing that's holding us back is that hourly rate. And it's tough. I mean, and it's also, just to circle back a little bit, is the best part of coming to this conference is like learning stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I would never get that anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, just those three mindsets. Like, I think his book does a great job of like getting all the information that we got, like that he's gotten from all these people, and put it in a really simple, easy way. Like, that speaks a lot to me. Like, more customers, get them to spend more money, get them to spend more often. You know what I mean? And we can do that by creating more value.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And the same thing, if you do it through like a, not to be cheesy, but like a serving heart, like it's, you know, we feel like almost unethical doing it, but it's not true. We provide so much value.
Yeah.
It's really crappy that we think we don't, you know?
No, it's true. I mean, think of like if you don't help that person, right? Let's say you can't help that person and they go end up having to have imaging that's unnecessary, or think about how many surgeries we see that are literally unnecessary surgeries. There's
right.
a ton of those. And those are very costly. There's no guarantee they're gonna be better on the back end. Sometimes they're not, they're worse, right? And, you know, it's our job to be able to help them avoid those things. And if we look at it that way, you know, as you go to sell your services to somebody in the clinic, if you think about that versus, oh, I've got to see them this many times because I got to make this revenue and otherwise, you know, I can't meet my overhead, which is a valid concern early on. Don't get me wrong. Like, you start a business, you got to make money because you're not making anything, right? Like, you have to make money. But if you can think about it from the standpoint of like, how can you help this person the most? That is a much better way to look at it. And the other thing you said is, you know, how do you get them to come back more often? And this idea of maintenance or recurring visits in physical therapy, it's almost like a dirty
it's a
word.
Negative under, yeah.
Oh, you know, you do maintenance work. He's like, yeah, people are fucking crazy, man. They do weird stuff to themselves all the time, you know, and they need someone to help with that. Some people want accountability in their health and wellness. Some people just like a lot of hands-on work. They're going to go see other people. They're going to go to massage therapists. They're going to go to chiropractors and go to acupuncturists, whatever it is, they're going to go spend that money somewhere. And if you feel like your skill set matches up with what they want, I see no problem with that.
Yeah.
So now you've just now checked two of the three ways that you can increase revenue and grow a company. And we haven't even gotten to lead generation, which is what most everybody talks about, right? Mm-hmm. Almost everybody is just like, I got to get more new patients, got to get more new patients. Maybe that's true. But maybe what you need to do is get those people that are already there to pay you more because you probably are undercharging for what you do. And how do you keep them on a recurring basis so that becomes a very consistent, stable form of income, which is something we've both driven towards in the last, you know, year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, those are just three huge takeaways that I took, definitely.
Those are big. So now the other one that I would say was one of my favorite lectures was, it was a presentation called Dominate the Conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about social media and distribution channels within social media. And remember this one kind of statement that he says, distribution is key. Distribution is key. Your ability to get your message out in front of people is the key to them knowing who you are, and then eventually becoming a customer and wanting to work with you, and then your business generating revenue because of that. So there's a couple ways to do that. And the big one that we all kind of have access to now is social media, right? So social media, he phrased it the way Gary Vaynerchuk said it the first time. He said, you know, your phone, like YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, right, are the new ABC, NBC, and CBS, like the major channels. And you have an opportunity to utilize that, right? So he looks at Instagram as a reality show, Facebook as a talk show, YouTube are sitcoms, and podcasts are radio show, right? So we're doing a podcast right now. We're also doing Instagram Live. So we're checking two of these boxes. If we would have set up Facebook on the back end, hey, we should do that next time. We'll hit all three. We would have just, the internet would have exploded. But think of it that way, because like distribution is so important for you to get your message in front of other people. And the way that we use this to leverage our message is so much easier than it used to be. You used to have to come up with your own show. You had to get syndicated on the radio. Anybody can start a podcast now.
Anybody can have a platform. That's a big thing. You have a platform where you can talk about all the value that you bring, really bring out your personality and drive traffic to your clinic, to your website, whatever, and start converting those people instantly, right? And so so many PTs are not leveraging that. And it's not that hard. You know, you get a phone and you start videoing some exercises that you like, or you working with one of your friends and teaching them how to squat, whatever. Like, put that stuff up there and be super, you know, there was another conversation about being super authentic and like real and being a little vulnerable and just be like, man, just put that stuff up there. Like, it doesn't have to look, you know, fucking awesome. Like, it can look a little crappy. Like, sometimes we do videos and we put the outtake in there because it's funnier and people get way more engagement with that stuff than it looks super cool.
That's like, so true.
Awesome video. You know what I mean? I love, that was one of my favorite ones.
Yeah. So, the idea of, you know, vulnerability and not being polished, just being, you know, real with people on social media, you'll see plenty of people and like every picture they have is just like perfect, right? There's never nothing ever wrong. Like, Eve's hair always looks perfect.
It's a lot of hair gel.
It's a ton of hair gel. We're walking to the conference. It's windy. My hair is like just getting blown all over the place. Super annoying. It's all in my face. His hair didn't move. Not one bit. It's like, what you got there? Like, you know, concrete, but it's, but here we'll get back to the topic, which is, you know, put stuff up that's real. Like, what we've noticed with when we do live videos, the ones where we fuck up, where it's, there's like something, you know, that happens that's not supposed to happen, is they're the best ones. We get the most engaged. We get the most response with that. And this this lady that was presenting, she told a story and showed this picture of, she was doing it was like a fitness video, and she had some stress incontinence issues and she just peed her pants doing some plyometric stuff. And instead of, you know, just scrapping that, she took that picture and she posted it and she talked about having these issues.
A couple million views, like just
millions, you know,
crazy.
Millions of people, right? Millions saw this. And because there's a lot of people that have this issue, I mean, we see it all the time. We address it. We have PTs that are addressing it within our practice. And, you know, for her to have the, you know, the courage to be able to take that and then talk about it. Not a lot of people will do that. A lot of people would just be like, oh my God, I would never put that up. But because of that, she related so well to other people. So I thought that was a big one. Do you have any other takeaways that you thought today were, you know, some of your favorites?
I mean, like I said, definitely the authenticity one was a huge one. I mean, there's so many. I mean, they talked a lot about just engaging with your customers and finding a way, unique ways to engage with them. Like me just looking at some of my notes, like doing these like closed Facebook groups. Like even for me, it was, okay, we have a women's health PT and, you know, she does a lot of videos and like being able to directly get to them with content and doing like a closed Facebook group where you can start posting stuff like that and engaging with them and like talking about like, here's the issues that I deal with and like being able to engage with that customer that way. Like, there's just a lot.
Well, I think I tell you, man, this was a great conference. We're gonna absolutely kind of have some more updates. I would say actually on one last note that we did talk about today, which I think is a concept you guys should all take a look at, is the idea of a value ladder, which they talked a lot about these value ladders, which value ladder is sort of how you take somebody through services that get more and more expensive, more and more revenue associated with them. And to give you an idea, sort of, I jotted one out, which is basically our value ladder for athletes' potential, which is basically, you know, some sort of front end offer, whether it's the programming that we have or some sort of assessment or movement or mobility assessment, followed by individual visits, which would be the next step on the value ladder instead of in terms of cost, packages, which would be after that, and then kind of maintenance, membership kind of programming long term, which for us, it's not that big upfront cost or big upfront revenue like a package, but it's consistent, and people that do that work with us stay for a very long time. So that's our value ladder. And we talked a lot about value ladders and being simplifying those and really understand where people are along your value ladder, and not making it too complex. Where people say, like, is that your phone?
It's my phone.
Why did you set a timer?
It's time for me to meditate.
Oh, it is? Okay, perfect. You guys schedule that in the day. I thought you were waking up. It's like, who sets their alarm for 7:20 at night? So think of your value ladder. Keep it simple. Make sure people are ascending up your value ladder. And you're not trying to start them too high, right? Because if somebody comes in your practice and you're like, hey, I want you to come back once a month until whenever you decide you don't want to do that, it's probably unlikely that they're going to want to do that versus, you know, hey, let me see you one time. Let's have you come back on this day. You know, they come back and they've had a really good response to what you do. Now, all of a sudden, you can bring them up to the next step of your value ladder, which is maybe, hey, let's do a package and we get the best results. People commit to us and we commit to you long term. And then now they're committed to it and we get X amount of visits out of it. And the pressure's off of us to say, I'll get this person better in 3 visits. Otherwise, they're not going to think I did my job right. Versus, okay, now I've got 8 visits with this person, which is what they really need. So that's the next step of the value ladder. Then you can say, okay, cool. We have this programming and we have this monthly visit that you would be a really good option for, or a good fit for. Here's what it looks like. It's something you'd be interested in doing. So that would be the last step of your value ladder. Okay.
I think for me, the big thing that I did with the value ladder was like giving me an overall vision of where I need to put people and how they fit. Like before, it was like somebody would just come in and I would have eval them and be like, all right, I was just worried about getting to the next visit.
Yeah.
And now I have an idea of what the next step is. Like, I think you're appropriate. Like, my plan of care is I need you to come for 6 visits. It's going to take about 6-10 visits. Here's what I think is a good fit for you. They finish those 6-10 visits, and then I know what I need to do the next step. It may be a discharge. They may be appropriate. We don't really discharge anybody. We at least try to see them every 3 to 6 months,
yeah,
no matter what.
Exactly.
But, like, here's a monthly maintenance plan. Here's the programming that we can offer, right? So you know what to do in the gym, and you can do all your accessory work. Like, always finding a way to keep them in your tribe, in
engaged,
your culture,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Engaged, because again, we provide so much value, and it was just huge for me, especially in the cash based practice, of like just being able to like look at that and knowing where my beginning or my end started. It was just huge.
Yeah,
it was
huge. No, that was great. So, hope you guys enjoy this. We're gonna try to do a recap each day, and honestly, I'm gonna have some fatigue from this one. This is a very long conference. It's Wednesday.
9 to 9 tomorrow. 9 to 9.
9 to 9 tomorrow, yeah, on Thursday. 9 to 9 on Friday, and then 9 to 6, I think, on Saturday. So
we'll get the highlights. You know, I'd rather be you than me.
We're putting in some work for you motherfuckers, so I hope that you appreciate this, because this is a lot of time. And I know my wife, who is Instagram living this with my kids, which I guess I shouldn't have dropped the F-bomb there, because they probably are still watching this. That's okay. It's not nothing they hadn't heard before. they know that word very well, but they can't say it at school. So, but anyway, we're going to try to do this each day. So hopefully you guys can get some takeaways from this. These are the big points that we saw. This has been a great conference, and I hope that it's something that you guys get a chance to get outside your comfort zone. If you're a PT and you're into business and you have a practice, you really should think about going to something that's not a PT-related right. practice, you know, or a PT-related conference, because I think you get a lot out of being around other people, that aren't in our field, that are looking at things maybe a little bit differently. And if we can apply that to our profession, it's a win. So anyway.
We need more of that for sure.
We do. All right, perfect. Guys, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We'll have the next one up after that. And as always, if you have any questions, you can shoot me an email, danny@athletespotential.com. I love to get questions or potential podcasts topics to answer. That's something that we get all the time and we appreciate it. And as always, if you're an active listener, go to iTunes and leave me a review. That makes a big difference. You may not think it is. You may think this to yourself, you know what? Ah, he's got plenty of reviews. He doesn't need any more. No, that helps us get in front of more people. So if you have time, I really would appreciate it. If you go to iTunes, leave us a review, honest review, give me some feedback, what you think. I'd love to hear it. We're always trying to make the show better, and a lot of it comes down to what you guys think and how we can improve it. So thanks so much for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Are you interested in starting your own Cash PT practice? Maybe a little side hustle practice right now because you're bored with what you do at work and you're seeing massive volumes of patients. I found the most success by going this route through a practice in a gym. And this is why I started the Gym PT Blueprint. The Gym PT Blueprint is really a program that shows you exactly how to be successful in the cash model, whether it's a side practice or you're diving head first like I did. This shows you exactly how to set your finances up correctly, how to set your practice up correctly, how to sell things, how to market yourself, and how to really convey your unique value to other people so that they'll want to pay you for it. If you are struggling to figure out how to set your practice up correctly, or if you're in practice and you're not making at least five figures a month at this point, you really should check out the Gym PT Blueprint. Head over to drdannymattei.com/products. That's drdannymattei.com/products to take a look at the Gym PT Blueprint and see how this program can help you become successful.